Carol let him come out?
Come on.
He can't come out until he resembles the man that I married.
Carol, we don't have that kind of time.
The odds are 1,000 to 1 against you, old boy.
I'm Jim Burns. I want you to think back to the last time you had a conflict with your spouse. Well, it might have been yesterday or last week, or maybe it just ended 5 minutes ago. But regardless of when it took place, I want you to reflect on why it happened. And if we really are honest with ourselves, we'll admit that one of the greatest sources of conflict between married couples is the fact that we all complain so much about our spouses. Personally, I'd like to start a movement to ban complaining from every marriage, and my guest on today's edition of Homeward certainly agrees. He is Dr. Gary Smalley. You know him as the relationship doctor, and during the next half hour, we're going to talk about getting the marriage you want, so stay with us. It's going to be a great session today on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. It was back in the fall of 2009 that our partnership began, APU launching the Homeward Center for Youth and Family in collaboration with APU alum Dr. Jim Burns. And in case you don't know, this is a community resource. We provide valuable information for families and churches, and we offer services like seminars at APU, our upcoming Refreshing Your Marriage seminar for Southern California residents. If you're going to be in the Southern California area, the weekend of February 22nd, 23rd. You can learn more about that. There's so much going on, and we're so privileged to be a part of that. Go to homeward.com for more information, or just go to apu.edu. Right now, part two of Jim's conversation with Gary Smalley on a key topic, getting the marriage you want, here on Homeward. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today is day two of a great conversation with Gary Smalley. What a privilege to have Gary Smalley with us. He's the author of a brand new book, I Promise. He's written several books. Three of my favorite are Making Love Last Forever, The Blessing, he co-authored with John Trent, and The DNA of Relationships. He is the president and founder of the Smalley Relationship Center. Just last time we talked about how important it is for your own belief to change your marriage. Gary, welcome back to our program. So good to be with you.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be here.
Appreciate so much all that you do. Hey, in your book, I Promise, you share a story how you tried to serve your wife, Norma. You were learning this whole idea of serving, and you washed her clothes.
Yeah.
So what happened with that?
Anyway, there's a lot of rules in my home, which is great. I have a perfect wife for me because she's structured, and I'm just the opposite, ADHD, dyslexic, you name it. Anyway, she had one of the rules is, especially when her clothes are in the washer, don't mess with them. Just put them on top of the dryer. Put your stuff in if you want. Wash it, but don't mess with her stuff. Well, this one day I put my stuff in, thought I'll do a sensitive thing for her. I'll fluff her clothes for 5 minutes, and then I'll hang them up in these round things she has, and then she'll come down and say, what a sensitive husband. And so I did it, but I got distracted. I forgot about it. I went back finally about 2 hours later, found her, opened up the dryer, and everything was shrunk up to nothing, and everything was ruined, and all the lacy things. It was her lingerie stuff and white sweaters. Anyway, it was totally ruined. And I knew I had to face her, and so I knew she'd be upset with me. We were probably going to get an escalated argument, which incidentally doesn't really happen with us anymore. I can't even remember the last time we had an escalated argument. And so, because we're both working on each other, ourselves, instead of the other person. But anyway, I knew that humor, you know, has the potential of diffusing anger. So when I met her, I went upstairs and said, "Hey, I got good news and bad news." And she said, "What did you do?" You know, she knew I'd done something, and they're so perceptive. But anyway, I said, "Well, the bad news is that I dried your clothes," which she took off immediately for the washroom, and I had to restrain her. And then I said, "The good news is that our granddaughter Taylor has a whole new wardrobe," and she never cracked a smile. I mean, she was down there mumbling, and you know what's really interesting about this, Jim, is that every time in the past that I would goof up or she would goof up and I'd criticize her, she'd criticize me, she would always come up and try to change me, because in her mind, her belief was, if I change Gary to be more structured, I could be happier. And see, that's such a false lie right out of the pit, because my changing would have never helped her anymore for her own quality of life. But because we believe that, We're always in our mate's face trying to change them.
You know, you made a comment in your book about that. You said your emotional well-being should never depend on another person meeting your expectations.
Exactly.
And really, in some ways, we go into marriage thinking that that other person is going to meet our expectations.
It's very normal. It's no wonder the Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and that foolish stuff goes right on into our adult years and our married life and, you know, our work and everything else. That's why it says, this is what's so powerful. This goes back to that first promise, but I know I have four other ones to get to. But it says, very fascinating, God's words have I hid in my heart that I can't sin against him. Ooh. When I understood that this past year, it makes so much more sense that I actually take very important sections of God's word, what I believe are the greatest verses in all the Bible, the greatest teaching. I've gathered a list of those things, about 50 of them. The ones to me that seem the most powerful. Like, for example, Matthew 22, 37, 38, 39. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Well, it's to love God, with your boss God, with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Well, and then love others as you love yourself. Well, if he said that was the greatest, so I've memorized that one 2 years ago, and I've dissected it every which way. And now it's in my heart, but the reason why it's so powerful is because it's become a part of my heart. Now it's a part of my belief system. Now it's controlling what I say, do, and think. So when we want God to be in control of us, put his word in our heart and watch how it happens.
That's really good. That, and that, in many ways, that goes along so well with your second promise, which is to be filled with God.
Yeah, second promise. I mean, what's greater than the second promise? That God is our life, not our mate. People turn their mate into their happy little vacation time. They think that my mate's going to satisfy me. The average man thinks that my wife's going to satisfy my sexual needs a year after they... In fact, you heard the old story that if a man and a woman put a bean in a jar for every time they're involved sexually the first year, one bean in one jar, they can't remove those beans from the second year for the rest of their life.
Wow.
And one of the reasons is because a lot of men and women are focused on how is this going to meet my need instead of how am I going to serve my mate. And then, well, this leads me to the most powerful, personal, life-changing experience that I've ever known since I've been born. Okay, so is that a good enough introduction?
We need a drum roll on this, Jeff. Our sound engineer is going to have to do a drum roll. Let's hear it.
Yeah, that's right. About 10 months ago, I'm in Orlando, Florida. I'm walking in the morning. I'm speaking to several thousand pastors, but it's during the week, and so I'm just taking the morning off, walking, exercising like I do every day. Up in front of me walks this 20-some-year-old woman, short, hot, pink shorts on, you know, and basically a T-shirt, and that's about it. And walking towards me, gets very close, says hi to me, and my neck automatically turns and follows her when she walks away from me. And now I was just praying and quoting some of my scriptures to God, and all of a sudden I look at this hot woman. And it isn't but 100 steps that I actually have imaginary lustful thoughts about her. Think just male, regular male thoughts about another woman. And so I stop in my thought time and I think, God, that really fascinates me. I'm just talking to you, and now I'm lusting after that woman. What's the deal? You know, I'm 65 years old. Am I always going to lust when I'm 70, 90? You know, I mean, what is it? And so I didn't take but another 50 steps when it was like God said, listen, you've been learning this last year that your thoughts come out of the beliefs in your heart. So what belief do you have that's bringing that thought? I took another 100 steps and realized, I am a full-blown believer in hedonism. I was raised this way. My friends were this way in junior high school, college. My family was this way. It was all part of my belief system that life is pleasure, exciting, sexual, and that was my core belief. That's really hedonism. Hedonism is a person who seeks after pleasures, and the problem with hedonism is you never get your pleasures because they always turn to addictions. And so that's the lie of the pit. So anyway, from 5 years of age, I had that belief. So now I'm 60. So for 60 years, I was lusting. Well, I got back to my room, my hotel room, talked this over with my wife, explained it all to her. She agreed. And I said, I need a scripture verse to counter this belief. And so I looked rapidly, you know, for a couple hours. I found the greatest one, Jim. Listen to this one. Galatians 5:13. It says, I have been given freedom by knowing Christ and his power living within me, but I don't want to use my freedom for sexual pleasures, sinful pleasures. I want to use my freedom that I have in Christ to love other people by serving them. Oh, so I memorized that verse. I understand every word. I'm working on it for 2 weeks. I meditate it, chew on it all day long. I have cards, reminders. I have stuff I work. I do this all day long. I don't even get to listen, basically, to much radio anymore because I'm always working on my verses, getting them to my heart. Anyway, 2 weeks later, I'm in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I'm in a hotel with my family. We're in a jacuzzi with family members. Into the jacuzzi room walks two Barbie dolls in their 20s with strings on, basically, as I recall. They get about 10 feet from me, and my first thought that came to my mind is, I wonder if they know how much God loves them. And I went, whoa, where'd that thought come from? I never had a thought like that. And my second thought almost had brought tears to my eyes. I thought to myself, I wonder if their daddy really loved them the way they needed to be loved as a little girl. And then thirdly, if they're married, I wonder if their husband loves them as Christ loves the church. And I thought, wow. Now that's 10 months ago. I have not had one lustful thought since 10 months ago. Even tried to have lustful thoughts, and it can't come because what's replaced my hedonistic belief is the belief that I'm filled with God's power, his spirit, freedom, but I want to use that freedom to care for people because they're very valuable by serving them. So women are extremely valuable to me, more than they've ever been ever in my life, and I can't even imagine of using them anymore, even mentally. Is that powerful or what?
That is incredibly powerful and actually incredibly hopeful. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about promise number three, which is find God's best in every child. I want to talk about forgiveness and how that plays a role in this promise.
I love that one.
We'll be right back. Gary Smalley with us today, getting the marriage you want, but also getting the life you want. An incredibly powerful conversation with Gary. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Well, I'm just going to duck in here, Jim. I love this conversation because you and Gary are so enthusiastic about this. And it's nice. I mean, when you write about this, when you study it, but you know it really works, then you can really get behind your writing. And Gary Smalley is the author of the book I Promise and many other well-known books and resources on marriage. If you go to homeward.com, we have a link to Gary's site today on our site. And you can just find out more about that, the Smalley Center for Improving Your Marriage. Also, Dr. Jim Burns has written a couple of outstanding books on marriage, Creating an Intimate Marriage, and Closer, the devotional book he wrote with his wife, Kathy. Both of Jim's books are available for purchase in our online resource center today at homeward.com. And if you do purchase them directly from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. They're tax deductible, and we appreciate that. Now let's get back into it. This is the conclusion of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Gary Smalley here on Homeward.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Dr. Gary Smalley with us today. We're talking about getting the marriage you want, getting the life you want is what this is turning out to be. Gary Smalley, president, founder of the Smalley Relationship Center, author and co-author of more than 40 books, including one of my favorite books, The Blessing, that he co-authored with John Trent, The DNA of Relationships. I was telling Gary before the program that I actually gave this book out, The DNA of Relationships, at Christmas to all of the major donors at Homeward, and appreciate so much his writing. But the practical side is authenticity, as you can see if you've been listening to this program. Gary, you've written a new book. It's called I Promise. We've been going through some of the promises. We won't get through everything, but one that intrigued me was to find God's best, even in every trial. Right. How does forgiveness play a role in this promise?
Well, all of these promises all create a safe place, a secure place for your loved ones, because that's the essence of relationships. So this is just one of the other ones, but this is a big one. I love this one. Like, the first promise is my favorite one. Second one is my second promise. This is my third favorite. And here's how this works. When I started hiding, 2 Corinthians 12:9 and 10, and here's basically what that verse says, but I want to explain this thing. It just blows people's mind because it has mine. All of my trials, I don't care what it is. I don't care how painful it is whether I've been kicked around by people, mistreated, fired, humiliated, you know, blamed, accused, wrongly accused, slandered. I mean, I don't care what somebody's done to me or something's done to me. You know, if I've fallen and broken my leg or burned my hand, it doesn't matter what has happened to me anymore. Now I know that God's grace is always sufficient, and I have that in my heart now. Here's the great thing. Paul said that when I go through trouble, I instantaneously get more of his power and more of his love.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, therefore I boast. It's like a trophy. I boast when I get kicked around and beat up and stoned and dumped and, you know, broken up with and you name it. When I listed my major trials and started treasure hunting every one of them, I got so excited to realize that some of my biggest trials in life have given me the most of God's character, more of his power, more of his love, more of his peace, more of his joy. I get that every time now I'm in a trial. So when I get hit by life and I'm bolted over and I'm in pain, I'm in the ground, you know, I'm lower in the snake's belly, in the middle of my grief, I literally am able to say, God, thank you for this misery, because right now you're pouring, this is Romans 5:3-5, right now you're pouring your love into my heart through your Holy Spirit, through the pain that I'm going through. Jim, the reason I don't complain anymore is because that those verses, or those verses like that, like all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, which is to love others, I get more love with every trial I go through. How can I possibly complain about something that's enriching me and transforming me into more like the nature of Jesus? I can't. So in other words, it's impossible for me to complain today. Can you imagine having teenagers and 10-year-old kids in your home who don't complain anymore? That's why they've got to start learning how to hide God's word in their heart so they can't sin against God.
Now, in our previous program, you talked about this, where with your grandson, you taught some scriptures. And you're talking about 10-year-olds and others as well. So we're talking about marriage, but also family life.
Yes.
You know, how do you help them plant the word of God? We want this, and yet a lot of people are saying, you know, boy, it's really tough.
In chapter 4, I go into a detailed of how to start. You have to memorize the verse. You have to understand every word. You have to chew on the verse, which is really meditation, all day long from morning, noon, and night. Every morning I wake up, I say, good morning, boss. And then I go over my two, three, or four verses before I get out of bed. Then when I exercise, I go over the rest of my verses. And I only have like 50-some that I go over every day, but I don't go over them one time. Jim, I think people should have a quiet time if they want in the morning. Read the Word. Read the Bible through once a year. That's great. But if you're not hiding specific verses from your brain to your heart, I mean, it's like James 1. It says you read it, you walk away, you forget what you read. Do you know that you forget almost 90% of what you hear at church just within hours?
Sure.
And that's the same way it is with everything in life, unless you get it to your heart. And once you get it to your heart, you have a new belief, and the new belief erases the old one. It's like walking up to the computer screen and changing your desktop picture to a new one. And you do it by, it says in Deuteronomy 6, you put the reminders on the fence post, the door, the kitchen, the bedroom, your sandals, your sweatband, your wrist. I mean, wow. And so I'm starting a whole ministry providing reminding ways for Christians to have all over the world that they can wear on their body to remind them things you can put in the dash of your car, on your watch, everywhere, because there's a lot of times where you get stuck in traffic. Just spend that time reviewing your verses so you can get them to your heart as soon as you can.
It's interesting. What I hear you saying in our conversation is that basically it's not about the other person. It really is about ourselves and making the right and wise decisions. And for many of us, we really know what kind of decisions we need to make, what kind of changes we need to make.
Right.
We just simply oftentimes don't do it.
Exactly, because we don't take the time to get these beliefs. If we understand what Jesus said, that our actions come from our heart, then let's only work on our heart and forget changing other people. So that's that third promise. So that one right there is worth the whole book.
Absolutely. Well, actions come from our hearts. Our time is up. Gary, I appreciate so much all that you do, and I know you squeezed us in the midst of a great program and a conference that you're going to be doing. I'm so grateful for the years and years of your leadership on marriage and family and just great stuff. Thank you for being with us today.
And thank you for what you do too, Jim.
Appreciate having Gary Smalley with us on the past couple of editions of the Homeward Broadcast. We've been talking about getting the marriage you want, and if you're in a situation now where your marriage is in really bad shape, drop us a line, let us know, and we can provide some resource information for you. If your marriage is in a good place, but it could be better, this is a really good resource to have. Gary's book is I Promise, and if you'd like a copy of the full-length audio CD of this program, maybe you and your husband could get away for the weekend and just kind of review some of these principles together. We'll be happy to send you the CD as our way of thanking you for your tax-deductible donation of any amount in support of the Ministry of Homeward, and you can get that process going at homeward.com or call us at 800-397-9725.
We've been talking about getting the marriage you want today on Homeward, and my thanks again to Gary Smalley for spending the past couple of programs with me talking about this very important subject. You know, getting the marriage you want takes some work, but it can be done, and it's easy to blame your spouse for the problems in your marriage, but don't use that as an excuse today. If we really want to develop and maintain intimacy in our marriages, we have to lay aside the blame game and focus instead on what you can do to work on the intimacy in your relationship. Not what your spouse can do, but what you can do. It's important that you understand that you set the mood and the tone and the atmosphere for your marriage. And you can change the atmosphere of your marriage almost immediately with what I like to call AWE, A-W-E, affection, warmth, and encouragement. This is one of the most important lessons I have ever learned for my own marriage, and I continue to talk about it over and over again because it really has made a difference in my life. Here's how you can inject awe into your marriage. A stands for affection. One of the basic needs of all people is to love and be loved, and your marriage needs affection in order to thrive. You can create an atmosphere of intimacy and closeness through affection. Now, if you're not naturally an affectionate person, don't fake it being overly mushy, but work on it. I have found that even just a basic I love you or one of those 15-second kisses that you would only give to your spouse really does make a difference when it comes to affection. Personally, I'm amazed at how often Kathy has changed my mood and the atmosphere of our home with a simple gesture of affection. W stands for warmth. We all have emotional bank accounts, and to have a healthier marriage, we need to make more deposits into our spouse's emotional bank account than withdrawals. I actually think I learned that from Gary Smalley years ago. We make withdrawals from our spouse's account, for example, by nagging or negativity, shaming, heaping guilt on them. By contrast, making deposits into our spouse's emotional bank account is all about those times when we offer them warmth and saying we're sorry and meaning it and tenderness and hugs and our tone of voice and having fun together, and the list goes on and on. So bring warmth into your marriage. Lastly, E stands for encouragement. Showing encouragement involves being available to your spouse. Your presence in your spouse's life makes all the difference. It sometimes speaks louder than words. Your availability, both physically and emotionally, says to your spouse that he or she is in a safe relationship. Don't expect to have a thriving marriage if there is too much hostility and lack of attention paid to your spouse. It just doesn't work that way. Find ways to encourage and affirm your spouse. I mean, some people receive encouragement through words, others through gifts, some with actions. Well, the key to encouraging your spouse in the best way possible is to literally make a study of them to figure out what works for them, not just for you. Now, let's face it, conflict is inevitable in relationships, but it is important to remember that there is one person who can make a difference in your marriage atmosphere, one person who can get you started down the road to a more intimate marriage, and that one person is you. Here's Roger with some information about a couple of resources that can help you and your spouse get the marriage you really want.
Well, actually, Jim, we want to first of all refer our listening audience to homeward.com and the articles and media section. We have thousands of articles, tip sheets, video clips, and more, and everything in the articles and media section is available without cost. There's no subscription fee to browse around our website. There's no monthly club membership. You just go to homeward.com, look for the articles and media button, click on that, and then type in marriage. Where it says get answers, just type in marriage. You will see we'll be populating the screen there with all sorts of different information. Also information on programs that we've done here in the past too. Our audio archives are free to access, and they've all been tagged. They've all been hyperlinked with anything that has to do with marriage in it. So you'll see a whole listing, a catalog of all the audio programs too. So if you want to take a couple hours and just go through and wander around in our archives, you can hear some of Jim's great teaching as well on the subject of marriage at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.